This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013.
This is Race Wars. Race
Wars. I have the power.
Yeah. How's it feel?
With Kurt Metzger.
You're out of your fucking mind, dude.
And Sherrod Small.
Settle down, bitch.
Race Wars. Can't even say my own name.
Oh, right? Yeah. How did you mispronounce? You made that thing.
I know. They can't do it. Well, hello, everybody. Hello. Welcome to... We have a very special edition today. We have a crossover podcast.
Yes.
Two of the best podcasts in the world.
Coming
Race
together.
Wars.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know about come together, but.
I don't know. One episode.
Race Wars, starring Sherrod Small, the one and only.
Thank you.
And Kurt Metzger, who's never here.
Do you and Kurt Metzger still do it?
We still do it together. He's been in LA for the last year or so, but we do some shows on the road. We just got back from Detroit like maybe a month or so ago and did a live show out there, and it was great.
Wow.
And I know you invited Norm one time to Race Wars, and me
I've been on twice. I've been on twice.
Yeah, I've been a lot.
Yeah, you've been on. You came on with Milo.
With Milo Yiannopoulos.
What? Yes. Nice. How come you don't invite me when there's a good guest?
The only reason I got Milo is because Gnome was too scared to have him on this podcast.
Yeah, it was
and call me up, because I would have Hitler on. What do I care?
It was right after Louis, and then he behaved terribly with Leslie Jones.
Oh, yeah, then the stuff online, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted to get to the bottom of it, but he apologized and
did
brought
you get
his
to the
black
bottom?
Husband around. That was that sexual?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we have Modi today here.
Hello, Modi. I'm so excited. Can I tell you about the Comedy Cellar podcast downstairs?
Sure.
We just promote
another one.
We got Stormy Daniels as a guest.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Stormy,
How much you pay her? $150?
We actually had to pay her travel, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
That's all right. Stormy Daniels. And she's going to do a set in the Comedy Cellar. She's doing.
Oh,
she's
no, that's gross.
Hilarious. She's doing comedy now.
Oh, my God, no.
She's
Don't
been doing
bring
comedy.
That nonsense on that sacred stage. He's been through enough.
And he's going to tell us to cut it later. I know. I know the deal. Cut Paul McCurry's
beep it out.
Is she really getting on the stage here?
Yeah, of course I would let her.
Is she auditioning? It sounds like she's doing a spot.
She's going to do a spot.
So let me get this straight. Stormy Daniels gets spots here now. Wowzers.
Listen, Trump's son, Junior, been here, so.
I was there that night when he got smashed in the head.
I was there, too.
Right. What's
the topic tonight? Come on.
Let me introduce the guest first. Modi.
Hello.
Hi, Modi. Boris Hyken.
Modi had a starring role in Crashing this season.
Stop Jew bragging.
Excellent.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you can see it in HBO if you don't
know. Mazel tov.
And Boris Hyken, welcome back.
Another Jew. Go ahead.
Another Jew. And third, a not Muslim. They're supposed to be Muslim and get my bag, but she's not. Sarah Harvard. She's
more Muslim than I am Jewish.
Yeah, she is. She's a journalist and also a political reporter.
That's like
the
dumbest thing you could have said.
Yes.
You didn't tell me she's a journalist. Why don't you warn me? Journalist for where?
The Independent right now.
Oh!
Yeah. That's the scariest kind.
Do you ever read my?
That's the kind that.
Do you ever read my emails?
I'm anti-PC.
Do you ever read my email? And of course, Sherrod Small is here.
Yes.
And Andy is Norm's friend, but he's too smart to join us.
Yeah, Andy's trying to keep his job.
So how come Stormy Daniels and the others come into our podcast, not this one?
Our new producer, got her. I'm really excited to get.
I'm gonna be
to
in that episode.
Yeah, that should be a fun interview. What kind of questions would you ask?
I can't wait for next.
What it tastes like?
What do I really want to ask her?
Thank you, Andy.
What I want to ask her is this. You had a consensual affair with this man.
So why drop dime?
Why would you hit him up for money, you know, when he's running for president?
I can answer that right now. She's going to be like, I'm a prostitute. That's what we do.
I cannot wait for next year when Norm is writing checks to Stormy Daniels. And he was like, it was just one show.
That's a good joke.
Thank you.
You keep swinging.
I do have Sean Spicer coming on through Race Wars in a couple weeks. Because he's got a whole team of people working for him now. He's the new White House, I guess, Washington correspondent for E! Extra, one of them shits.
Sean Spicer was Trump's first press secretary.
Yeah.
Why are you explaining to me from all people?
I saw that dazed look in your eyes. I'm like, trying to get you.
But he loves the yap, so I can't wait to have him on.
This is what I'd like to ask Sean Spicer.
Okay.
When you had to point to that picture of the inauguration
and lie about the amount
and say, show a picture of an empty field and say, what was going through your head?
Keep this job.
Oh, that's just, can you imagine?
Ugh.
Anyway, so what's the topic tonight?
So let's talk about Ilhan Omar. we've been fighting about it online all the whole time.
Who, your cousin?
So what do you think about Ilhan Omar?
Oh, you want to give me the mic first?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I have a lot of opinion about her, but I want to hear the opposite first so I can respond. Obviously, she didn't do anything wrong, but, you know.
Obviously.
If you're wondering, these are the laughs of the Jews. That's how they sound when they laugh. She said the same thing. It's a double standard because she said the same thing about Saudi Arabia. Nothing happened to her.
What did she say about Saudi Arabia?
Exactly. You don't even know.
She criticized Saudi Arabia with Yemen, but the context was a little different.
No, but it wasn't. Actually, it was stronger with Saudi Arabia.
Okay, this is the thing. First of all, I love that she said what she said because I just love to see. I want to get the popcorn and just watch the whole Democratic Party.
And you want to be back in the news again.
But, yeah. But just like the blackface argument.
Yeah.
If you don't, anybody who didn't want to consider the historical context of dressing up as a white person, dressing up as a black person, is an asshole. And that doesn't mean that I think it's wrong for a white person to dress up as a black person.
I talk about that on stage. I say people forget that Billy Crystal played Sammy Davis Jr. on SNL. Everybody loved it.
Right.
Daryl Hammond did Jesse Jackson so well on SNL. Jesse Jackson did it with him.
Right.
They did dueling Jessies.
And I think that's fine.
Right.
But you can't pretend. No, I don't even. So when you start talking about Jews buying influence, and which I thought was actually okay, but we talk about Jews having divided loyalty, which is what the Protocols Elders of Zionists, what Charles Lindbergh said, this is what Henry Ford said, this is that. Then you're just like stomping on a minefield there.
But
anybody who tries to pretend like that, it's perfectly fine to talk that way. No, if you're going to talk that way, you better explain yourself and be careful about it.
The parallel is kind of what Trump said about the Mexican judge. Like, you know what I mean?
People
criticized him because he doubted his loyalty to America because of his Mexican heritage.
Her point, problem.
That's my favorite story ever because Trump after that, like he couldn't process why he was being criticized for that.
The interview?
Yeah.
He made no fucking sense.
And he couldn't process why they were criticizing it. He's like, I'm building a wall. He's Mexican. What don't you understand? And he was right. Like if I sat down at the comedian table, like I was in trouble with it, it's like, oh, I got a Palestinian judge. People wouldn't say to me, oh, how dare you say that? Like, that's the real world,
right.
You know? Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
What were we talking about?
Mexicans? You got to understand that people
Mexican.
Gonna, think her, outside of their...
First of all, she said American... She was not... against the Jews. She was against the loyalty of other...
She talked about Jews having their allegiance...
But the problem is not the Jews. The problem is being an American and loyal to another country. Not being a Jewish
and
loyal to Israel.
But the problem is the accusation of that, you're saying.
But it's being American has nothing to do with being anti-Semitic. We don't even know what anti-Semitic anymore.
Oh,
what
is it? I don't think
anti-Semitic is someone who hates Jews more than they have to.
I didn't say
you always get that joke wrong. I think it's they hate Jews more than is appropriate.
I like the way he said it. Yeah, yeah,
because more than they have.
You all experience how the difference between the delivery from from a comedian's owner of the comedy club.
That's fine,
now you got
that's
it.
That's fine. You can deflect, but the fact is that more than they are. English is not his first language. But he said more than they have to. No, you don't have to. It's more than is appropriate, more than they deserve.
Okay.
Like Larry David
more than
says.
Just what's needed.
Larry David says about anti-Semitism. Goes. We are a bit much. Oh,
yeah. So what is anti-Semitic anymore?
So that's the same joke. We are a bit much.
You
thank you. So what is anti-Semitic anymore? Because you guys throw it all over.
It seems like every time you criticize Israel,
exactly.
You yell that you're anti-Semitic.
I will say this. I think they're missing. I actually think they're missing it. I think that, I'm even a little forgiving of somebody who grows up in a Muslim country and comes and has been kind of marinated in some anti-Semitic ideas. But I think it's much deeper than that. I think it's the intersectional left at this point in time can never take the side of the white person. I'm using quotes because half of Israel is not white, but the white person over people of color ever. Settlements, no, it doesn't matter. This is the new reality, and we're going to see the Democratic Party come apart in a certain sense because it doesn't matter anymore what Israel does or doesn't do. It is the white people, the Europeans, the colonialists, whatever it is that they think, versus people of color, and that's all they need to know about the conflict. Yep. That's it, and I think that's what she represents. That's why AOC is on board. I don't think AOC hates Jews, but she views the world through those eyes, and I think that's what's going on. That's my opinion.
You think that's how she views the world?
All of them. All of them.
And by them, you
all
mean.
Of them.
By them,
all
you
those
mean.
People. All you people.
That, you mean Scorpios?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean those people. I meant you people. Forgive me. So, and if you look at the polls, I think only like 9% of people who call themselves liberal who are under 35 support Israel anymore. Like it's almost zero.
It's like, here's the thing. I think everybody pretty much, who don't support Israel? We've been supporting Israel. If Haiti got as much attention as Israel, holy crap.
So, and
what a better country it would be.
I'm very worried about it.
Why do we pay attention to so, like, who exactly. picks what countries we pay attention to?
I never.
When a country's on the verge of curing cancer. Yeah, you know, Israel is.
But have they been on a verge of curing cancer since the 50s?
No,
of a lot of shit, though.
I don't understand.
But Haiti's not surrounded by its enemies.
Cuba's been doing the same thing.
But I don't think
stuff.
It's only about race, though. I think it's about power dynamics, too. Okay. You know, for example, Palestine can't fucking ruin Israel like this, right? But Israel can annihilate all Palestinians. They can exterminate Palestinians the next day if they want to.
But everybody else around Israel
But no, she's right. And this was, I don't want to interrupt you, but.
No, go ahead.
This
was actually Sam Harris made this point that, you know, if you philosophically look at both sides and say, what would one side do to the other if they have the ability to do so? Well, we actually know Israel can do whatever it wants and chooses. Not to do anything is just made a bunch of offers that were rejected, whatever it is. Where we know if that power dynamic were reversed, there would be genocide, most likely, or if not genocide, some sort of ethnic cleansing.
Okay.
So that's the moral universe that you're living in where they're not on an equal plane. One side doesn't have intentions to the other side, which are the mirror image of the other side.
But why are we supporting Israel so much? That was his question. Why America being a country, independent country?
Well, we support every democracy, don't we?
But how is
not,
it?
Not really. No.
But
no.
I think we're not against
well, every
that's
dictatorship.
Not the
I think calling
it's
Israel
it's the money.
We didn't support Palestinian democracy.
Yeah. Well, even their own, like,
there's no Palestinian democracy.
There are still, like, Ethiopian Jews who are asylum seekers who are not getting equal treatment in Israel. There are Sephardic Jews, people who come from North Africa who are Jewish that don't get, you know, equal treatment.
Listen,
you're talking about threats to the press. So my question is, like, you know, we need to. I think the question of whether or not Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East is up for debate. And
no.
I'm open to hearing.
No,
I think
no.
It's,
that's not up for debate. But this is what I would say. I don't think it matters all that much what Israel's policies are, and I say that not saying they can't be criticized. But you know, Germany can have horrible policies. China has a million Muslims in concentration camps. It's all kinds of things around the world you
like
can
that
point
keeps you
to.
Up at night.
Yet nobody.
That's his favorite
it
show. What are you talking about?
It keeps him up celebrating.
What's that?
Pop another bottle.
But nobody.
No, I'm miscounting. 2 million.
But nobody then sets that off against the country's right to exist. And you can criticize all you want. But that's their policies. And to make that case even stronger, the fact is that Barack offered that peace plan and Arafat walked out. Olmert offered that even more far-reaching peace plan.
True.
And Abbas walked out. Nobody, we've looked for guests, nobody can come sit down here and say, well, you know, the Palestinians would accept this peace plan.
100% right.
And, and most of the Arab people I know, when I'm speaking privately, will agree.
You're talking about your staff.
Did they work for you?
No.
Yeah. I said the staff. The guys in the back.
What other Arab people do I know?
Boss, whatever you think, boss.
No. You said on this show that they're not interested. They're not going to.
No, absolutely.
Peace.
But my point
can I say one thing? So what I would say, what I don't understand, is that at some point, we have to look at a nation who has missiles that aimed at their kindergartens, and say, come on now. How would we react if some genocidal enemy that doesn't even want to negotiate across the border started sending missiles at our kindergartens? What? We had 9/11.
Okay.
We saw how we reacted then. Like, what?
You have to remind the listeners.
What kind of margin of error are we not allowing this country to deal with their problems that we know if the shoe were on the other foot, we would never actually behave as well as Israel does.
But how long will this last, though? It just seems like this
it's been lasting. Long, it's been lasting.
Forever?
Well,
enough.
Two things. First, when you say no one wanted to agree on any deals with Israel, that's true. The Arab leaders do not.
Why
but,
is that?
But that does not mean they want war. You know, not having a peace plan, you know, does not mean I want to go to war with you.
Then why, then why do they send missiles?
If they could peacefully wipe it off.
Come on, let's be honest. Like, they can point one missile that
not
is
one,
like
this is,
one
it's barrages of missiles.
It's barrages of missiles flying
it's
into
not
Israel.
The best
they don't
missiles.
Have missiles
better
that
missiles
what,
at Home Depot.
They're not sending.
They
the
have
best
homemade.
Missiles. Obviously, you
they
don't
have
you
homemade
don't,
missiles.
You obviously don't have Jewish engineers making your missiles.
Yeah, we don't. That's the problem. We
It's got duct tape on it. You're safe.
We don't have, you know, we have only, they do, homemade missiles, stuff like that. Nothing a threat. But again, he said anybody can criticize Israel, but apparently not. She can't. If she said
she
one thing.
She didn't criticize Israel. She
criticizes people here that support
Daddy
Israel.
Lyric, though, the first
she didn't criticize Israel. She's welcome to criticize Israel all she wants. She criticized, she essentially said that if you take all her tweets together, she said, the Jews are the evil nation which hypnotized.
She didn't say that.
Yes.
She didn't say evil nation.
Yes. It was like, she actually, the weirdest thing about it was she said, like, Allah will wake up the world
to their evil.
Wow, which is weird also. Like, I wouldn't want somebody shouting out Jesus or Yahweh
but they do.
Or whatever.
But they
else.
Do it all the time.
But
though.
They do.
God bless America. God bless America.
But, you know, one other piece of context to add, which you were saying too, though, but. First of all, it's weird to just, like, what she's a representative in what, Minnesota? Why is she talking about Israel in the first place is strange to me. But, like,
she's not, that's the point.
But
everybody's
you're on
talking.
Different boards and stuff.
Wait,
and Congress,
and everybody's
so
saying she's talking about Israel. She's not talking about Israel. She's talking about
America.
Let me tell you, because I said.
America sends money to Palestine, too, by the way. Yeah, per capita, I think, more than Israel.
She said that.
Per capita? Yeah.
She said that we support the evil Israel that's hypnotized the world. We do so because the Jewish money buys the congressmen, and the Jews do that because their allegiance is to Israel first and not to America.
And in the same letter, what did she say?
And in all that, she never makes one criticism of Israel other than the conclusion that they're evil. She doesn't talk. I don't believe she's informed at all about Israel. But if she went on tweeting about the new nation state law that
like
Netanyahu passed, whatever. Nobody would call her an anti-Semite.
But in the same time when she said that, she also mentioned it was part of a whole thing. She mentioned Saudi Arabia. You know, so it's not, it
but
wasn't
the media,
just
the
Israel.
Dirty media keeps it out.
Yeah. But
two things I want to point out, though, if you don't mind me jumping in. The first is that, like, talking about it, people got offended that she was talking about how the American Jews aren't loyal to America, they're loyal to Israel first. Do you know how many times Muslim Americans who run for office get that crap? Like, Ilhan Omar was accused of having her loyalties to Somalia, not to...
Not by a member of Congress, she wasn't. She might be by some crackpot
redneck
who puts a...
Steve Scalise, Steve Scalise wrote a tweet saying that he doesn't want her in the intelligence community because he doesn't trust that she has loyalties to the United States.
Yeah.
I have to look that up now, right now. I'll look that right up. Can you look that up right now?
Steve Scalise, Louisiana.
But the poster that went...
That poster.
The poster, I don't know where it came. Nobody really knows where it came, but it was some... You know, bigot.
Oh, the 9/11?
The 9/11 one. And how did they get my picture on there?
But that's not a member of Congress. There was a member of Congress, Steve King, who said this some stuff about white supremacy, and he was censured and stripped of his committee seat just like a month ago. So there is a recent precedent for how this thing ought to be treated. And
but also, I mean,
Wrongs don't make a right.
Well, I agree, but I feel like there is a double or outsized reaction to this.
But the Jews, you know, and on top of that, it's not Jews who are making Islamophobic remarks. So it's not even like, some white Southerner makes an Islamophobic remark, and now you're going to weaponize that as an excuse for anti-Semitic remarks. There's only one right answer to this. Either if you think it's an anti-Semitic remark, then she should suffer appropriately.
She should be criticized, but so should Steve Scalise or any other congressman.
No. But that's
no.
Yes, but yes, Steve Scalise should be. But you don't. But why would you be looking to get her off the hook? Is what I'm saying. If you think that what she did is wrong, it's in other words, what they're saying. Oh, great. We found a way to let her get away with this. No, if you think it's wrong, then you still think it's wrong.
Yeah,
you
can say, with that.
And I don't like that Steve Scalise got away with
right.
it. But just the very fact that they bring this in as to somehow looking for the way out to punish her implies to me they don't think she did anything wrong.
Okay, what part of what she said was anti-Semitic? I'm still trying to figure that part out.
What is anti-Semitic?
This is a classic, I hate the word trope. It's like, you know, every so often a word shows up and you just hear it every day. I spent the first 40 years not hearing it at all.
Right.
And I hate to use those words. But the trope is the word of the day. It's a classic accusation against the Jews as a way of just calling into question anything that they stand for, which is that their only allegiance is to themselves.
Okay.
So
sort of a dog whistle would be the modern term that we've used for that.
Yeah, I don't like
stuff.
That term either, but yeah.
But I feel like the whole Omar reaction or outrage, it's kind of distracting from the main conversation I think we should be having, is that how can we have honest conversations about the Israeli lobby without being anti-Semitic.
Yes,
right?
Where's the
and if we're talking
about how
if we're talking about how saying that Jews buy the money, which I think inherently, if you're talking about the background, is somewhat anti-Semitic.
Zach cannot find any Steve Scalise quote to that,
No, I think that's fair. We can talk about that. But first of all, like a lot of the political stuff doesn't even come from Jews. It's evangelicals who are like a quarter of the vote.
They take the trips to Jerusalem.
I think this is all bull. I hear people every day talk critically of Israel, not only in the Jewish press, in the New York Times, and without being called anti-Semitic. There are certain buttons that if you choose to press those buttons.
But you can't cross certain lines.
It's a progressive talking point.
But now the AIPAC thing, now I defended her on that last week because my feeling was, even though I suspected that it didn't come from the same place that Thomas Friedman came from when he made this basically the same remark, my logic was, okay, AIPAC or however they do it, they give a lot of money to congressmen. We presume, being smart Jewish businessmen, being frugal, whatever you want to call it, that they feel that they're getting something for their money. They wouldn't keep giving that money every year if they didn't feel there was a return on that investment.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Whatever that return is, people have a right to talk about it.
And, that's fair.
And right. So even if you, I didn't like where she was coming from, but I thought it was a bad idea to call the AIPAC remark anti-Semitic, because I know logically what she's focusing in on is something. Unfortunately, all she ever does is label. She actually has no facts or logic or arguments to her. She doesn't have
any
examples.
It's like an emotional.
Like if you said, okay, well, make the case about AIPAC.
Yeah, yeah.
She wouldn't have. She'd have nothing because she's not. And that's why I feel it comes from just anti-Semitism. But the fact is, It is the one example where you don't want to shut down somebody's right to talk about something which I think actually exists.
Yeah. Well,
but the dual loyalty thing is on a whole nother level.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, there's another point I want to make is like Trump, for example, say stuff.
He's your president now.
Yeah. Womp. Yeah. Damn right he is.
He says stuff that applies to certain people in mid America, you know, and they believe in him.
And in
you know?
New York State.
And that's helping him in a lot of ways to have supporters. So maybe she's doing the same thing. Finally, we have a voice in the Congress. We never did, you know. We never did. We have one.
So this is uncharted territory.
So maybe she's trying something. Okay. She's new.
Are so dumb because the only reason Trump has even a slight chance of winning in 2020.
Oh my God!
Is because the Democratic Party is choosing to go down this divide. Like this. Okay, think about what this party is doing. They've decided to embrace the term white as an epithet. Like they can openly use white as an epithet. That won't split the party up. Yeah,
but
like, you won't lose any voters by just calling.
But I think you're making one mistake.
They decided to make it clear that they support the idea that Asians are so smart. It's not even fair that we have to compete against them. We're going to limit them.
Which
to 20,
is true.
We're going to limit them to 20% of the universities. And you know how we'll do it? We'll systematically rate their personalities as crappy. Oh, that'll keep the Asians within the party. I mean, the direction they're going if Biden actually were to get the nomination, he's almost a shoo-in.
But here's the thing. I think you're making a mistake that a lot of people are making in the U.S.
I don't
think you're wrong.
You're saying that Trump is winning because the Democrats are doing something wrong, not because he's doing something right. He's been doing a lot of good things.
I would never vote for a left-wing Democrat because I don't I reject their entire worldview.
Like, plus, you're a different generation.
We didn't spend 50 years of a civil rights movement. I marched. We didn't spend 50 years
that's
of a civil
rights movement. That's his second favorite show after a million Muslim in China.
We didn't spend 50 years of a civil rights movement to come to the conclusion, actually, it was okay to judge people by race.
Right, we never.
Just not
right.
that. We just were judging the wrong race by
right.
race.
Yeah,
it was actually okay to. It's insanity, and they believe it. Yeah. You could be a white person and you could research and write a whole logical argument with facts and figures of an opinion.
You lost me a white person.
And they will and they will simply reject it because it came out of a white person's mouth.
I told you lost me.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is nuts.
But that's dumb. Yeah. That's how people are just but it's the same with Democrats and Republicans. If you're a Republican and a Democrat say something that you believe in, sometimes they won't even back it because it's a different party.
Listen,
it's like that's monkey business.
It's just astonishing what I'm going to say. If you see anybody standing up for civil rights for civil liberties in 2019, it's a conservative.
Yeah.
They want to shut down free speech.
Oh, yeah.
They don't even like the idea that a criminal attorney is representing Harvey Weinstein. These are the people who were supporting the Nazis marching in a Jewish neighborhood. Yeah. They don't even want a criminal attorney to defend
more
someone who's
discriminatory than anybody. Nigga, I get beef for having Ann Coulter on my show called Race Wars.
Oh, thank God they don't know what else.
Give me what else. But I'll get beef for that. It's like, how do you... That's why freedom of speech is something we all need. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. Freedom of speech is getting attacked by both sides. But I think it's
not by both sides at all.
Yes, it is. Being attacked.
Try and go doing a comedy show in some Christian town and see these motherfuckers coming in and tell
respectful.
You what to do.
As a matter of fact, that was very interesting. The Sasha,
always.
Did you see they don't
the
pay enough.
The
they
Sasha Baron
enough.
Cohen show, This
oh, yeah,
Is America.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually,
did
Curtis
you notice how kind the Christians were to him when he was saying all that ridiculous stuff?
Right.
When Bernie Sanders went to speak at Liberty
That's
University in 2015, they were totally respectful of him.
What That's about when you honest. Wanted to build a mosque in
downtown? Yeah.
It's such a mess. They can't
pull have our
it
limits.
Together.
I interviewed Ted Cruz and Sarah Palin, and both
my apologies.
Well, they were the most sweetest, nicest people ever. And Sarah Palin actually had a good, smart answer for once. But like interviewing Democrats, though, man, they are.
Here's the thing: the wife of the Ku Klux Klan dudes made cakes at the church.
Yeah.
Oh, baked pies, the best pies.
If you go
but
to
they hung niggas at night.
That's like, what do you call it? Chick-fil-A. If you don't have money and you tell them you're hungry, they're like obligated by policy.
Yeah.
To get, they won't cater your gay wedding, but they'll.
Yeah. Well, they won't let you use the bathroom. I think I was going to say now about what were you just talking about right before that?
The Democrats. They can't pull it together.
Oh, what did you say?
Bloomberg pulled out this week.
Oh, even if
you're
a Democrat, if somebody says something right on the outside of the
Oh, island. Whatever. It'll come back.
Come on. God damn it, no.
Yeah. But Bloomberg pulled out because
he said he'll win, though. He was like, I would win if I got it.
The thing was,
a Jewish president.
It's not, no, but here's the thing. No, but you're going for the Jewish. Don't forget, what's in the office now?
A white billionaire.
So he's another white billionaire running for.
I get that.
Here's a good question. So the Democrats say, and they say that, well, when the Republicans tweet about Tom Steyer, that's anti-Semitic. And I'm like, I'm a Jew. It never even occurred to me that was anti-Semitic. And they say this like they mean it. And I'm like, well, first of all, so I Googled him. First of all, he's not even Jewish. His father's Jewish, but his mother's not Jewish. He's Episcopalian.
So y'all keep him out. The mama ain't.
And now I'm actually need to correct me here if I'm wrong. And I always took it as like this is a mirror image of the Democrats complaining about the Koch brothers. Like they're not leaving out a bunch of Christian billionaires who are trying to influence Democratic politics. It's like Tom Steyer and George Soros and Bloomberg, and they happen to be Jews. And are they
anti-Semitic?
If the Koch brothers were Jewish, I think they're not.
Oh, they
that
would
become anti-Semitic. They
they're honorary.
The they're honorary.
Just I mean, because you say stuff about them.
It's just desperate attempts to try to this is why the dog whistle thing is so pernicious, because they'll say no, you don't understand. That's a dog whistle for anti-Semitism. And then how do you argue with that? The whole point of a dog whistle is you can't hear it.
Right.
I can't prove it. And I was like hilarious. It's like it puts me. It's like, well, I'm a Jew and I'm pretty sensitive to this stuff, and I don't mind when somebody complains about any Jew throwing their money around to influence policy. Like you can say that.
Yeah.
And
so
I have.
You're trying to say Jews don't complain?
No, we complain.
We got to get money out of politics, period. Got to get out.
It's true.
Oh, so what about speaking of intersection, Michael Jackson? Have you seen the Michael Jackson?
Yes, Leaving Neverland.
Are we finished with Elon?
Yeah. I was actually moving to.
We've decided she's out of pocket. Right, we're all agreed.
No, she's amazing.
Who?
She is kind of hot.
Who are you talking
about? This is the thing.
Michael Jackson?
Can I tell you guys something?
I'm glad somebody said
it. Isn't it amazing? Like, and this is Michael Jackson thing reminds me of, like, hotness and charisma. IQ is absolutely no match for the primitive things like charisma and hotness.
Yeah.
Like, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says nonsense, and she is so hot.
That's you love her. That's your type. That's so Gnome's type.
Or charismatic or whatever. In other words, if what's her name? Dianne Feinstein said exactly the same thing.
Oh, get out of here. Boo.
Nobody would listen to her for 5 minutes. Yeah.
That's how Trudeau got his.
Yeah. I mean, he's a hot guy. What's fascinating is that smart people, high IQ people, are no match for these more primitive
things. Hit 40, you know,
Elizabeth Warren looks like a guard dog. Elizabeth Warren, she's no makeup and nothing. She comes out screaming in her neck veins, and she wants to be, she thinks she can be the president. Is America will not look at that for 4 years, ever. For 4 minutes, you can't look at that thing.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And
did I lose you when I started talking about how hot Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez?
No, I'm just saying. You're absolutely, I'm making that
on board.
I mean, Trump's no prize either.
No, but Trump's interesting to look at.
No, Trump's a billionaire. He don't got to look like nothing. He got $1 billion. No.
Not in a close-up shot.
So Michael Jackson. My black friends were on Facebook saying, Michael's innocent. Do you know that during the OJ trial, 75% of black people thought that OJ was innocent?
I still think he's innocent. What'd you hear?
And 75%. And they're defending Michael Jackson.
As we should.
Five different little boys, or who were little boys, have accused him of this.
That's
stuff.
It?
Plus a maid.
So
you know how many little boys he made happy?
Look, we agreed we believe women. So let me
ask you something. So Michael Jackson is guilty because we think that he maybe and maybe not did something with the little kids. But Elvis, who we know that he
was fucking a 15-year-old, Priscilla.
Nothing happened to
Jerry G. Lewis, who we know married his 12-year-old cousin.
Charlie Chaplin had like four teenagers.
What's his name? Steven Tyler from Aerosmith?
No, but the difference is romance.
romance is romance.
So what's the difference?
You're going to love these kids.
No, hold on. No, because Noam disagrees with him.
MJ probably had the most romance.
Are you just trolling me? Is this serious?
That's real stuff.
No, I'm serious. Elvis did something. We know he did.
Is everybody saying let's stop listening to Elvis music?
No.
Oh, I'm not saying we should stop.
No, but that's just different.
Jackson,
there's not victims of Elvis currently talking. I haven't seen the documentary, and I honestly, up until everyone was like, it's undeniable after this documentary, I really thought MJ might be innocent.
How could you think that?
Because he seems like he might just be demented and not understand.
He paid out like $30, $40 million, we knew this, to these kids and their parents, and then he continued to bring little boys to his bed.
Yeah, because he's demented.
No.
You know what I mean?
No, like that's what I'm saying. If I told you that story, you would never. It's the charisma of Michael
he's
Jackson.
No quitter.
It allows your IQ to warp itself. Obviously, if you paid out $40 million and were accused of
you can't say obviously
of pedophilia. If you still wanted to have little sleepover parties with your 8-year-old friends, you would have someone else in the room. You would take some steps to not get yourself in this situation again.
Unless Bubbles you were like demented in the head, abused by your dad, and were a 10-year-old in
or
your
someone
mind.
Around you would say, Michael, you can't do
he
this.
He lives in an amusement park. How much fucking logic do you want this to be dealing with?
That's right.
What
does that tell you?
No, Macaulay Culkin said he never was touched.
Yeah, and so did, what's his name? The 80s star who... Corey Feldman, who was abused, he said he was abused by a bunch of people, but he was like, but
hold
not
on,
by MJ.
The two in the movie swore
they
under
swore
oath.
Corey
Haim
and
that
Corey
Feldman. Never.
Yeah. No, in the court. Yeah, okay. The dance dude.
So did the two in the documentary now.
That's
they
what
stayed that's quiet. What oh, that's what you're talking about. Yeah.
They swore under oath that we would never touch.
And now they tried to sue the estate. The estate wouldn't.
Well, listen, did Michael do it or not?
Of course he did.
Probably he did.
No, of course he did.
Probably, I could say he was
in a bad way.
Okay, so now the thing about Elvis is, first of all, you know what? In 2019, I probably have to just nod my head and say yes, because what I'm going to say is devil's advocate, but it could, you know, Zach will probably, who's half Palestinian, will sell this audio.
He knows how to hide it, don't he? You're going to make that check, ain't you?
But just to be fair, pedophilia is attraction to
prepubescent. There's actually terms for prepubescent, and then there's like also like right after puberty, and then there's like being attracted
to a phoebophilia.
You know too well. There's like gradients to all of this. Yeah.
So what Elvis did apparently, which was totally common to the entire world, and in the South, because it was legal to marry somebody at 16 in the South. I think at 14.
In Brazil, but it's still like 15 or 16.
It's not even about being legal.
Let the man
Elvis
marry
was
himself.
Attracted to a young woman developed 16 at a time at a time when
15.
But apparently he didn't sleep with her until she was 16.
Who's really?
That, but anyway,
so we won't believe nobody
else. At a time when culturally this was considered okay, and if I'm not mistaken, what's his wife name? Priscilla has never said that she felt that she was abused or something.
That's not the point.
So let me ask you something.
The law is supposed to protect you, not you.
You know, let me finish.
Look, the law a while ago. Hold on, let me give you the law here. The law said you shouldn't smoke pot.
No, that's not the same thing, Moni. It's not a moral
change.
Let me ask you something.
That's a misdemeanor and a felony, Moni. You're fucking a kid and smoking a doobie. It's two different things.
Yeah. But this was a 7-year-old boy, the youngest one.
Don't make the sex a thing. It's a 7-year-old. the sex of the kid don't matter. Yeah. So if it's a 7-year-old girl, it's
now
fine.
Tell me if this is wrong. So
you don't know how he identified.
It's so troubling, you know. It's so troubling. And I'm sitting in the bed watching this with my wife.
Right.
You wish you were young.
And if anybody's married, and you're talking about the little boy says that he fell asleep and he woke up with Michael Jackson giving him oral sex. And I confess, I was thinking to myself, maybe this will give my wife some ideas.
Why am I getting sleepy? Why am I tuckered out?
Stranger things have happened.
You move the blanket off of you and close your eyes.
Right then and there, you're like.
Because during the Louis C.K. thing, actually, she asked me to jerk off in front of her, so I didn't know. No, I'm kidding. But
because the plants needed watering.
No, but I really did have that thought, like, honey, any ideas?
I do think it's weird that we don't make that distinction. Right, because
it's a true story.
What's his name that everybody called the pedophile that was running in?
Roy Moore.
Right, and everybody throws that word like that's a specific psychological disorder. I think it's weird not making that distinction because, like even with like a 15, 16-year-old, it depends. I mean, the law protects them not because they're like not hot enough yet. You know what I mean? Like the law protects them because, like you said, if it's a 7-year-old or whatever, we just assume that they don't have the mental capacity and we like draw a line. But like a 15, 16-year-old, some of them look like children. Some of them look like fucking grown adults.
And New York State is 17 is legal age.
Yeah, and it's not okay. Nobody thinks in this day and age, we know better.
But it's not okay because they're not hot enough yet. It's not okay because like they're not. They don't have
they write the law because too many dudes find them too hot. That's the problem.
There's that.
They write the law.
What does it tell you that Elvis did this openly in front of the whole world and Michael Jackson had to do it and lie about it? I mean, no.
Race wars.
No. Elvis did not believe he was doing anything wrong.
Nobody did, I guess,
R. Kelly. Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah, he actually got in trouble. But that was
he only got in trouble when he went to London. He didn't get in trouble in America. He went to
God
London.
God bless America.
They got off the plane, and a reporter saw this little girl. Was like, "This, who are you, little girl?"
With a lollipop.
She's like, "I'm his wife." And they was like, "Get the fuck out of our country." They sent them back the same day.
So crazy, you know. This past year, I had two incidences where I was almost left alone with a child. One time was for a TV show, like. I had lines with this kid, and the mom brought to the trailer, and she goes, "I'm gonna go get a coffee."
Okay.
I said, "You're not getting a coffee and leaving me alone here with your child."
Right.
So you're gonna stay right here.
Yeah.
And I had another incident with this bar mitzvah thing, and like I'm like, no, you're right here with me and this kid.
Yeah.
We can't even imagine. It's like a crazy world we live in.
Yeah, you gotta protect yourself.
Go ahead. No, I'm because Noam's head trying to think of
like,
one line.
Noam's going through those urges to touch that kid.
I'm thinking of all the things I can't say.
Exactly. Shut up and don't say them.
So what about Oprah being involved in all this and all the hating on her?
What do you think? Oprah
Who's
talking
hating
to
her?
What she was?
She thinks of Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And oh really?
She actually interviewed the two dudes. The documentary. She was just trying to get to the bottom of it.
But she was.
Look how he's right behind Oprah.
Because I like seeing Oprah and Gayle got all the perverts they talking about now. That's where the money is right now. Because Gayle did the interview with R. Kelly, and Oprah's doing an interview with the survivors of Neverland. It's like, sooner or later, sex scandal is going to bring everybody down.
What about R. Kelly? Should we forget about
it? Well, what about Jussie Smollett?
Oh, you mean the truth teller?
You know what's funny? You both called that he's...
I called it Tawana Brawley when I first heard it.
When you first heard Tawana about Brawley. Jussie Smollett.
I mean,
to be fair, a lot of people called it. A lot of people even on...
Not in public. I was on a microphone saying
it. I did too on the microphone.
People was hating. They were scared of the pushback if it wasn't right. But I was like, I know this is bullshit.
Yeah.
What, the Tawana Brawley thing?
No, I felt like it was Tawana Brawley. The Jussie Smollett felt like Tawana Brawley. From the fucking Clorox getting thrown on you, it's like, money.
I've
been here before.
Like, who carries the noose around Chicago?
It was interesting.
You're from Chicago, right?
Oh, I'm from Chicago, yeah.
It was interesting to me that, you know, a lot of times when there's a racial thing, like Trayvon Martin or something, the opinions of the black comics and the white comics will break down predictably. But I noticed with the Smollett thing, all the black comics were calling hoax. There was none of that feeling of like having to...
Because first off, we know that white people don't watch Empire. Definitely not Trump supporters. And not enough to recognize that dude in the street with a hoodie on in the winter.
So what do you think motivates a guy to do that, Sherrod?
He just wanted more the attention. It's like ego. It's a lot
He said a raise, right? He said he wasn't...
He said he wasn't getting enough money, and then he sent a fake letter to himself, and nobody responded,
and
so he felt hurt by that.
But that's fucking crazy, too, that like... If this was all true, that his predicted result is that there would be a monetary value to being a victim of a hate crime.
Yeah, and a lot of people think that. A lot of people have been using real victims' fucking suffering to just better themselves in whatever fucking selfish way. It is gross.
Which is nuts in general, yeah.
I think it's a victimized mentality. Like, after Trump got elected, all these people started faking, well, not everyone, but like a couple hoaxes of hate crimes were out there.
There's been a bunch. There's a dude who like burned his own house down.
There's a list of like 50 of them out.
There was a Muslim who said that she got her hijab
ripped
off.
That's Sid Goldberg, and he had other reasons.
The insurance.
So I sent this to Andy, I think. So all the newspapers said, this was right out of like a Mel Brooks movie. All the newspapers were like, black gay actor, blah, 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 blah. Except the Jerusalem Post. The Jerusalem Post headline was Jewish black gay actor. I swear to God.
No, they did not.
Yes, because he's half Jewish.
Jefferson.
Oh. That is hilarious.
Yeah, I haven't heard anybody
mention
that.
That's the part
that
plotted this thing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Now it makes sense.
If he was still Jewish, he would have gotten away with it, too.
He would have.
So
it would have been anti-Semitic to say he was lying.
It feels good to be a victim in 2019.
Oh,
right?
It's money in it. It feels good to it. You get high-fived walking around the street. Everybody's trying to embrace being a victim. It's like, when did we turn into a bunch of pussies?
Do you think it sets black people back in any way?
No. He know who Jesse's thing? No. That's like, does it send
That's
gay
a
people
crazy
back?
Person.
But it sets.
It's like, it just shows us that every group has this.
But it sets racism back.
Racism ain't going nowhere.
No.
Because a lot of people not going to believe that, you know, you get racism against.
You mean the next time it happens?
Yeah.
Somebody going to call or say to you.
And there's like, oh, well, do you know Jesse? No.
You know, this is the thing.
The same people are going to be skeptical that we're skeptical, and the same people are going to, because people already in response to this were like, you know, the biggest problem with this is it's just going to give an excuse about, you know what I mean?
Always
like,
said
nobody's
changing
their minds.
If you really do hate black people and gays, find Jussie Smollett and beat his ass because nobody will believe him. You got a freebie walking around.
That is hilarious.
There's your freebie. Use your powers for good.
All right, so what else? Are we done? What else is in the news this week?
Oh, you know what I would add? This isn't this week, but did you guys talk about Liam Neeson already?
Oh, I want to talk.
What happened?
Because that was a fucking crazy...
He was being honest and got in trouble for it.
It was insane. He was like, he opened up and like was honest about like feeling hate. Basically, he said his friend got raped by a black person. And he's like, I spent the next week walking around with a bat at like black neighborhoods.
And he was like
looking for a black bastard to stop some shit with me so that I could murder him.
It sounds like a DMX song.
And they were interviewing him about a movie about revenge, and he was like, I'm ashamed of it, and like, but this is where I got these emotions. And people are criticizing, and to me, like, those people are fucking dangerous, because those are the people that want to believe there's nothing like that. They want to pretend that, like, this is evil versus good versus, like, this is a human thing that everyone needs to check themselves about, because you could be capable of it if you're in a state of rage and your friend gets raped. And they want to separate it.
People don't like that mirror.
And there's me.
They don't like that mirror showing their own shit that's going on in them. They'd rather say, I'm not that. It's like, we all have fucking degrees of that.
And that's what's
and
like
life does that
awesome about the fact that Liam Neeson shared that. That's like, that's a scary, vulnerable thing.
But you're right. And I this whole I agree with you 1,000%. For some reason, it made me think of this. You know what really did set Jews back?
What?
Or really hurt the Jews? It was not Ilhan Omar's comments. Nobody
Jesus
cares.
Christ.
It was the list of Jewish names that came out of Cohen's mouth during that. Who were you? Who were you involved with? Well, it was Goldberg and Frankel.
It was like temple attendants.
Like, Michael Pittman, and it was all these names.
Each was like, one was like a punch in the gut. Like, Jew,
and they all
Jew,
had like
Jew.
Like three syllables in them. Glachtenberg. It's like not just a Berg and man. It's like, Manskovich.
And you know. And it's like people with a straight face. Like, do you remember, like, 2 years ago telling us, like, with almost tears in our eyes, Steve Bannon is an anti-Semite. Like, there has never, the Trump and Bannon, those, the Jews have never had anybody who looked out for their interests more than these guys. They have billboards of Trump in Israel. Like, if with enemies like this, you do not need friends. Right. Like, right there. Yeah. And they are still trying to make the case that these are the anti-Semites. Like, they're trying to tell us Jews, no, you have to worry about Trump and Bannon. These guys, it's
they're in bed with them.
It's just surrounding. It's love Jews as far as the eye can see.
Yeah. You know who else loves them?
What?
Chinese.
Love Trump?
Money, you go down to his 40 Wall Street.
Yeah.
It's all Asians out there taking pictures of Trump building. All day. It wasn't always like that before he got elected.
And that's because they love him or because he's the president?
I think because they love him. Because they all there smiling, jumping in front, taking pictures like
it's
they
like
had
brand
fucking,
name, though.
They like just
the
like,
Statue
they
Liberty.
Like cartoonish
it's
American
like the Statue
representation.
Liberty.
Hindu nationals, too. Love Trump.
Yeah.
Love Trump.
It's a far. It's a weird Far East.
Well,
because
they have
money
issues
too.
With Muslim people also, so they fucking love that shit.
You're not going to believe who also really likes him. Half of the country.
Arabs. Arabs like him.
Yeah. They really drop
do.
More.
Of course they do.
A drop more.
A drop more, right?
Yeah, why do Arabs like him?
Yeah, it needed something.
Because he reminds
kind
of
white
Arab
dude.
Dictator, though.
He does. And he's the kind of white dude they used to visiting with all these years.
No, they like him because he's doing everything business-wise, military-wise. He's, you know, he's doing everything for, especially the Saudis, you know?
The Saudis
and he's very clear about, you see, the Obama-Hillary thing with the Arab Spring, there was very shaky. They lost the trust of the people and of the government because they didn't support the people in the beginning of the revolution.
Yeah, they didn't. No.
And they didn't support the government in the beginning. So they both don't trust Obama.
We played
or Hillary
out like this and said, let's see how this
who's
goes.
Who's going to win?
We
yeah.
are such fucking.
I know. It's like,
really
we're going to see who's going to win. And then.
Sharad, you're a black man.
I'll prove it.
Tell me this.
I'm half black.
Well, if I'd known.
What do you see if you could only tackle one racism issue? What would you put your attention to in terms of
Remember
the impact of race on your life?
I'm your best friend.
And you just get one. Don't
be like
greedy.
Young kids getting shot by the police.
That's your number one
and
issue.
And it don't really affect my life because I'm not a young kid, but I will still hurt from it if a family member, or a niece, or a nephew, or somebody's getting. So yeah, I think that would be just to keep people alive.
Yeah.
Let's start there, and then we can talk about everything else.
All right.
All right, another issue that that happened also, I want to talk about the ISIS bride.
You know when I don't answer, it's because I disagree, but I know I can't say it out loud.
You can say it. You should be quiet a lot more then.
So
you wanted to ask what about black on black crime? That's where you were going.
No, I wanted to bring up the empirical data, which.
But he said race, so I wouldn't think that's racist things that's happening to us black on black.
Right, that's not. Well, unless you consider like those neighborhoods being like.
Luckily, they're being policed by Liam Neeson. Luckily, he's on top of that.
That's right.
No, there's been a lot of data which has cast doubt on the idea whether or not it's actually what the data that I read. It was by a black economist from Harvard, and it was
Herbie?
Tom Sowell, I'm guessing.
Front page. No, I forget his name. I think he's in trouble for a Me Too thing now. Front page of the Sunday Times. He said it was the most unusual finding he'd ever found in his research. Was that on many other measures, like being pulled over and things like that, blacks were, there was a discrepancy and blacks were being treated worse. But actually in shootings, they found no correlation between race and shootings, which to me does make some sense because, I think I told you this years ago, because, I mean, I've seen some terrible police brutality on McDougal Street. But if you're a sadist or you hate black people and you're a cop and you want to get your rocks off in that way, you get a guy into the police car and you kick the shit out of him and you say he was resisting arrest.
Yeah.
That's it. But to shoot somebody on the street, there's no percentage. That is not the way you do it if it's calculated.
But maybe you're just quicker to do so. when you know it's a black or
maybe
Latino
right. The accusation person. Is more like an unconscious bias.
Just but, like
right,
Stephon Clark, who just got killed in Sacramento, who had his phone in the backyard of his grandmother's house. Maybe you're just quicker to do it.
Maybe, maybe, but and let's
when
presume.
When's the last time a white dude got shot with his phone?
And let's presume that you're right. It's still, and let's presume there is some more number of black kids be killed because of that. It's still a very, 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 very minuscule, almost statistically insignificant difference between white and black, according to the stats.
I get that, but it's still depressing. It's still a boot on your neck. It's an invisible boot on your community.
But let me tell you what I see as a white man, what I see as the racial issue that bothers me is not the shootings.
Okay.
It's in the everyday humiliations that I've seen my black friends go through with the cops, getting pulled over. Yeah. Like, I remember one time we were out here with Jason Merton, and there was some call on McDougal Street about something, and immediately the cops came, had Jason's
up against the wall,
behind his arms, behind his back, and on the car. And I said, "Officer, I don't know what's going on, but I'm pretty sure that's not the guy. Like, he works for me." Like, immediately, you know. Reality, why is that? Because probably whatever was called in somehow fit the description. I don't want to call those cops racist, but to live with those
police
everyday
state.
Humiliations, even if you can intellectually understand what the crime statistics are and why this ought to happen, even if you might even know that, well, even if these were robots, they might still harass black guys more often, it's got to make you fucking furious.
I remember one time right in front of the olive tree when your father was alive.
Yeah.
I was out there on a step and some big goofy white cop and his partner came over there and was questioning me in front of the stairs and then was asking me for my ID and I gave him my ID.
Were you smoking weed on the street at the time?
Probably.
Yeah.
But then, I wasn't smoking then. So I gave him my ID. Your father came out and was like, "Hey, what's going on?" He was like, "Back up, sir. Get out of here." He was like, "I got a right." Your father, you know your pops lost it. "I got a right to be out on this building. What are you, Gestapo?"
That's what he said?
That's what he yelled at the cop.
He just had to add juice to everything.
And the cop gave me back my shit and fucking bounced. He kept asking me questions, but then he left me alone. Your father stayed right there in front of the building. Like, I don't got to go nowhere. And I was like, "Man, he's my shit."
No, one of the best stories, I was outside the cellar with Patrice O'Neill and Jim Norton. And then two cops start running and to Patrice. And they're like, "Freeze." And he's like, "What?" And he's like, "We told you, we've been chasing you for an hour now. And we told you not to come back to this neighborhood." And Patrice Wayne is like, "First of all, if you were chasing me, you would catch me." I swear.
But yeah, so it was a little harassment.
It was so funny.
You know what Patrice is, Andy? I sent you that video of the comedian talking about the bears and the salmon. That was Patrice.
But you know, you got to deal with that as just black people sometimes.
But that also, like what you're describing, that's going to affect, like, if a cop's got a gun in your face or something, and normally there's a way that you can behave that makes it less likely that something happens, you're going to be it's going to be a lot more difficult to behave in that way if you've previously had all these interactions with cops where you don't trust them and where, like, you don't trust that they have your best interest in mind, and that, like, when normally somebody might be like, "This is my phone, I have a right to be here," somebody else might just fucking spaz because
they're not used to that shit.
It's
scary.
I mean, this is, you know, when people talk sensibly about these issues, they usually begin to come to the middle and agree, well, this is not as easy as it sounds. It's not easy to have a tremendous discrepancy in crime statistics and have no issues with the cops.
You got to sit your kids down and explain to them that, look, when cops come around, you make sure your hands are out. And this is like 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, you got to tell this. No yelling at them. Make sure you listen to what they're saying to you. No quick movements. And have a good day at kindergarten.
What baffles me the most, though, is that how a lot of these police officers don't get indicted. Like Stephon Clark.
Yeah, because
just
it's kind of legal to shoot. It's like the law is on a cop's side, the shooting cop's side.
As it should be.
But I'm trying to figure out
all the time.
Whether,
so even if you got a phone, you should be able to get shot and a cop go like this. I'm a cop.
No, well, but that's the other thing.
This is what I think. This is why it should be.
Race wars.
Because when you're a cop, you're putting your life on the line. And
when you're a black kid, you also put your life on the line, and you didn't sign up for it.
First of all, you know that I'm not speaking casually about anybody's life, let alone a black life. But the fact is this, that you're putting your life on the line. Cops are killed all the time. And if you find yourself in a situation where in good faith you thought your life was in jeopardy and you take a mistaken action, we do not want to punish you and put you in jail. And it's very hard to read somebody's mind. But the fact is, when you have people out there with guns who are going to put their life on the line to protect innocence, you're going to have mistakes. You're going to have a guy who doesn't listen. You're going to have a phone that looks like a gun.
Errors on our side. It's always, we're dead when a mistake happens.
Yeah, this is why it's
hard. They're never dead when a mistake happens.
This is why it's hard. Like, you do the joke about, remember they shot the guy?
Yeah, yeah.
Who's that?
A 40. Bunch of times.
What was his name?
Diallo.
I forget.
Diallo was the toilet plunger.
What's his name?
Diallo was the guy in the Bronx that got shot.
No, Luima was the toilet.
Yeah, I
think it was Diallo.
It was Diallo.
So what came out in that story was that when the cop who shot
Sean
him.
Sean Bell's my joke.
When the cop who shot him got to the body and saw that it was a wallet and not a gun.
Right.
He burst out crying.
Yeah. But he burst out crying because probably
crying for himself.
For himself.
No. That's an ugly thing. No,
it's because he was Jewish and he saw the money got shot.
he burst out crying because he realized he had shot an innocent man. He really thought the guy was pulling a gun. And I don't remember that it was dark or there was some kind of comedy.
It was in a vestibule.
Or shouldn't be comedy. There was some perfect storm of, and this happens. In a world where statistical probabilities, even one in a million probabilities, happen every day. That's right. The nature of statistics. Mm-hmm. It was one of these situations where everything went wrong, and the guy thought the guy had a gun, and he shot him. He didn't wake up. He was not trying to murder a black dude. You know, this is what happened. And when he saw it, he's lived it the rest of his life. And I know some people want to say, no, he's a white pig, and he's... It meant nothing
but
to him.
There are some reports of like cops who have like, I mean, not, I'm not saying generalizing all cops, but there are stories of how there's certain cops who have white nationalist tendencies or supported white nationalists.
Absolutely. We saw that shot, the cop shot the guy in the back in South Carolina. Yeah. That was
how
a murderer.
Are they still, yeah, that's my question. Like, how are they still, I mean, are they still in the force?
Is no, that guy's in jail, that one guy. But yeah, a lot of them are still in the force. A lot of them are still in the force.
But that's the big one also. It's like each time one of these happens, I feel like on both sides, people just generalize it to like, this is the big problem, or like Blue Lives Matter, or whatever. There's a lot of people that don't wait to like find out the specifics of like what happened.
Yeah,
there.
A lot of times they just find out who the black person is and try to find out whatever bad they did in their life and put that on the news
immediately. For sure. Both sides do that shit.
There's another side to it. I've talked about this before. Like, okay, if you are a pedophile and you're going through the want ads.
Yeah. We're talking about like a legit pedophile, like 15, 16.
No, a legit pedophile. And what kind of jobs are you looking for?
Guard
at a school, teacher, whatever it is, like
roller coaster.
This is what like if you're a straight dude who loves to get laid, I want to go to the show, but I want to be a musician. Yeah. There is this phenomenon, I believe, that whatever the percentage in the population of like pedophiles is, it's going to be higher in areas where kids are
involved. Yeah.
Similarly with cops, like if you're a fucking sadist, it's a very appealing thing to be a cop.
Or a military.
Or the military, that's right. Or anywhere where somebody can give you a gun.
And you can get the kill.
If it's heavy armed, you know, weapons, then you want to be Israeli. You know,
okay. It's banking.
Right. If you love money.
Chances are.
So I was talking about the ISIS bride. You guys know the story?
Oh, the chick who came back
ISIS
to
Alabama?
What?
Alabama,
bride.
Right?
Yeah. The one from Alabama.
Kid with the ISIS soldier.
The ISIS what?
Bride. Like a wife.
Like a wife.
Bride.
I'm sorry, I'm deaf. I'm ISIS bride. Go ahead.
You know the story, right?
You know, I'm not deaf. So when you say B or P, it could be either one. Because you say everything is B.
Because, true, my because, dad I thought, because I'm Middle Eastern, so I have to be the
so P's I thought you said
B.
I thought you meant ISIS pride, but actually you really meant bride.
You know, it doesn't matter in the airport. When I say passport or passport, I'm still going to be checked. Okay. Either way, it's like in the side.
Okay, so, ISIS pride, go ahead.
So, yeah. So let Sherrod enjoy the laugh. Enjoy the laugh. Okay, thank you.
I just hope they don't let you through.
Thank you. So the last thing, what do you guys think?
What's the ISIS bride?
I don't want her coming. I don't think she should come in.
So she
should come back either. Yeah. Fuck off.
No, I don't think about it.
A traitor.
It's not about coming back.
19-year-old American girl left from Alabama, went over to marry an ISIS member. First two husbands, I think, died, and she got pregnant. She has a son. She wants to come back to America now. Want to come back to Alabama. She claims she was born in Jersey, so she is a U.S. citizen. But they are trying to keep her out.
So here's the problem.
How can they keep her out?
We all agree that she is, you know, definitely should be in jail. And she wants to be in jail, but she want to be in jail here.
In jail for what?
For joining ISIS, you know.
Oh,
but the problem is,
she's married
they saying she's not an American citizen.
Oh, yeah.
And she is an American citizen.
Right.
The difference is
like Obama, American citizen?
Whoa! That's racist.
That's pretty good, though.
That's like not it. Racist either, by the way. Never. Anyway,
that's called comedy.
No, because
is it out of Noam's mouth?
So, she was born here. But she was born here, but she was born to diplomat parents. And the law is if you are a diplomat, your son or daughter
does not get the... It doesn't matter if she was born here to
this is the issue that I want to discuss.
It, does,
it doesn't matter from what country.
What? Syria.
Oh, she's Syrian diplomat.
But she was born
but
here.
Not
it doesn't
a,
matter. She doesn't matter. Yeah. Let's say she's the most American citizen. The woman... planned and organized to Syria. Yeah. It's not a direct flight.
We're not talking.
That's like you got to do a whole bunch of shit to get there.
It's a connected flight, but it's not that.
You get.
It's not that
Syria.
Hard.
She married an ISIS guy. She Walla Akbar for him and the whole thing.
Yeah.
And she has a kid. And now she decides, I made a mistake, but I want to come back to the country.
Exactly.
Are you?
No.
That we're having a conversation
she wants to come
about
back,
this is how sick the world
is. She knows she's going to jail. But she's saying, I'm an American citizen. I'll go to jail here.
She'd rather be in jail in
here,
America
than being there.
Than,
you know what I'm saying? So my point is, regardless, she did a big mistake and she deserved to be punished for it. But for Trump, say she's not an American citizen. And she's not an American.
I don't
think it's all about Trump.
American
now?
Or not,
he
not
said that.
Trump.
He said she's not coming back.
I think she's
going
to be
Mike
coming
Pompeo
back.
Who said that,
yeah,
Mike
Pompeo. Yeah.
The same thing happened with the English girl.
Yeah.
And she wanted to go back to England. And she was born in England. It was like this. Fuck off. They revoked her fucking
citizenship.
So the reason.
Go deal with yourself.
Okay. The reason I'm asking this because in the community, I'm giving you some inside information, guys. In the community, everybody's worried that if you are an American citizen, they're gonna take the citizenship from you and say you no longer. A citizen because maybe you're this and that. That's why they're trying to fight this as Muslims, because they're afraid of that's happening. She's an American citizen.
That's a fair point.
Nobody have the right to take that from her. Go to jail here, death penalty, whatever.
But that's such a specific thing.
The courts will handle
this.
I don't know the law, but the courts will
handle it. I didn't know she was diplomatic, and I didn't know all that shit was going on with her
parents. But it shouldn't matter.
So maybe she's not a U.S. citizen.
I'm a naturalized citizen. That doesn't make me worry at all that my citizenship's going
to
get taken.
Me neither.
Convert to Islam and you'll be worried.
But the thing is, a lot of Muslims are accused of terrorism or accused of giving material support to terrorism without any evidence or hard facts for that.
Yeah.
And they, I don't know if you know, I forget his name, but...
I don't know anybody. Don't mention names.
No, not you, but someone from Massachusetts who was translating Arabic text to English, and then he was and because Al Qaeda used the same text, but it's like not anything like outrageous. He was sentenced. I don't know where he went to, but he pretty much was charged on terrorism charges. And he's in prison for life. So
what?
A lot of Muslims,
is that like a Scalise text?
Under the Patriot Act.
Yeah, you forgot
Scalise
about
thing
that.
Is on, it's New York Magazine. I was trying to. So you guys were talking about pedophiles, so. Steve Scalise delivers the GOP's most. He just literally said Nancy Pelosi. Has to remove Omar from the House Foreign Affairs Committee, and he was talking about her anti-Semitism and stuff like that. But the point I want to make about Muslims in this country is that under the Patriot Act, for example, there was no sense of freedom of speech. Anything you said, any translation of Arabic text or any criticism of foreign policy was viewed as giving material support to terrorism.
I'm going to call bullshit on that, but we can. No, I mean, be disrespectful. I don't believe that's
why
true
you don't believe it.
Because I can say specifically not on the Patriot.
I'm trying to mansplain
Not the Patriot
your bullshit.
Act. Because there's a First Amendment in this country. All right. Can you tell us
about
for Muslims during the 9/11?
Can you tell us about your health problem? Hatem almost died.
Yes.
Again.
And so tell us what happened.
He's
carrying.
I know.
It's
Sherrod actually asked.
He's carrying
me.
A heart.
I asked him for it 3 times the other day. You'll need the bag all day.
So what is that you have around your?
It's LVAD. So one day I was just sleeping and I got, I stole that ICD that was when I was sick last year when I was in Mexico.
Okay.
Nothing against the Mexicans.
No,
I don't believe in the
wall. No jokes. Come on. Tell
them. Oh, the truth? Okay.
It's his morale.
Seriously. So I installed an ICD, which is something that give you an electric shock if your heart, heart rate goes high or something. About a year after, I'm sleeping. I'm going to work in the morning, and then I get shocked by that electricity, So I go to the hospital to check it out, and then I don't remember anything else. I woke up like maybe 20 days later. And they tell me that...
You were in a coma.
Because your brother saved his life.
And my brother took me there, and they were like, you need a heart transplant. I was like, what? It's like, you need a heart transplant or an LVAD. which what I have right now.
Right.
And he refused the heart transplant.
I didn't refuse the heart transplant. I
he
think
said
I,
it's a Muslim heart?
No.
I don't want no Jew heart.
It was a Jew heart.
It was a Jew heart.
Wait, no,
you refused the transplant. That's what I heard.
I thought he was too sick for
it. I didn't refuse. I was too sick for it to wait. And they think they said that I freaked out while I was in coma from the heart transplant. I was saying no heart, no heart. So they said we'll go with the LVAD for 6 months and then maybe give you a heart transplant.
So now what kind of stress is it to walk around with this? I mean, do you just not think about it? I mean, you're
of course you think about it. Can you use a microwave with it?
Yeah, you can use a microwave.
So what? I mean, like you seem so relaxed. Like I would, I don't know if I could.
No,
function.
I'm relaxed because I'm with my friends here.
Still, friends and family.
And family.
What's it like? What goes through your mind? Like when you're sleeping,
trying to give them anxiety?
Do you get hypochondriac? Like every little thing you think, oh God, what is this?
Of course, yeah, of course. Bubble. I mean, you. First of all, your whole life, I was very active. I play soccer professionally. I coach soccer. That's my job. Very active.
Stop bragging. We get it. You have great thighs.
It's not the only great thing I have. So yeah, it's not being active. It's actually kills you. You know, the wires are going from inside to the outside. You can't shower. You can't sleep in this side. You know, you have to be literally plugged into electricity at night, just like a cell phone.
Plugged.
All this and no one cares about the P's and B's. All right,
plugged.
How's it like going to the airport though? That's what I want to know.
You know, the funny part is they get that's the one joke that I made in the hospital. The only joke that I made. They were like, we're gonna give you a card so you can go through airport security. So I told them, where were you all these years?
So you are stressed by it.
Of course. Yeah.
How
very,
can it not be stressful? But you still gotta carry on.
Very stressed. You know, in the beginning, it was very hard waking up every day because you wake up and you forget that you have something plugged into you, and then you get very depressed. You know.
And you have to charge it every night.
Yeah.
And if there's if there's a blackout, they have a plan for that too.
This is the best thing about this country. Is like when I was when I was in the hospital, they made sure that if there is like the electricity, first of all, Con Edison knows that even if I don't pay the bill, they never cut the electricity. They have plan B if there's a blast. They call me before any snowstorm or anything.
Plan B.
The fire department next to my house have a charger, extra charger. Like it's just amazing. Yeah.
You're like a cyborg essentially though. That's
they really care about my life.
A Muslim
I have a lot
cyborg,
to give.
Though, it's kind
I
of
have a lot to give.
Yeah. No, that is amazing about America, right?
I mean, it is, and the funny part is like
after what his people did to firefighters, now they're keeping him alive.
Well,
9/11,
nothing in that one. 9/11. That's the thing is like if I was somewhere else, if I was back home at that point, and I was planning you like that,
planning. Very good.
I was planning to. I would have been gone. It would have been dead. You know.
Right.
But So
America saved you.
Let's not push it.
Have you decided whether you're gonna get the transplant or not?
I mean, it's very stressful thing to think about,
Yeah.
So what my doctor suggests is like I can't do a surgery anyway until 6 months from now. So don't think about it until 6 months and then make that decision. Because it's you search online, you go crazy.
Search online for hearts?
No, but like, search a line of hearts.
Swiping right.
What's the option? Tinder for hearts?
I tell you a couple of funny stories quickly that happened in the hospital. I was very stressed, with all the equipments around me.
Yeah.
Any beeping, I would look at the monitor. So they
that was actually a beep. Okay, go ahead. Sound like you said peeping.
Yeah. So they put it behind me, so I don't see it.
Oh, okay.
So this guy nurse walk in one day and he's looking behind me and he's like, oh my God. And I like lost it. And he's like, it's snowing outside.
Oh, what an asshole.
He's looking at the window behind me. So that's a one funny. The second thing is like,
that's why men can't be nurses.
When I first came out, I have all cuts. So I was very, emotional. I didn't want to see it. So, the doctor saw me looking at what cut and like tearing, and he's like, you know what? Take your shirt off, but do me a favor. Don't look. No matter what you do, don't look. It's going to heal later, but don't look now because it looks bad. So I was like, okay. He closed the door. Behind the door is a big mirror. So I see everything clearer than if I would have looked down.
Oh my God.
So, yeah.
Full length mirror on the back of the
boat. Hilarious. Thank God you're okay.
Thank you very much.
You,
thank
God.
You have good health insurance, right?
Yeah, I do. Oh, that's good. Now I do. So, yeah. So, thank you, everybody, for being here. And Mo, do you want to share contact information?
Modi_live on Instagram.
And you have a tour coming, right?
I have a bunch of stuff coming.
The one Hanukkah or something like that.
That's a Passover tour.
Passover tour. Is it Passover? Did he say Passover?
Passover. Boris?
At the Boris K.
Boris has a lot of funny stuff that he puts up. So
yeah, he does. Yeah.
Thanks.
On Twitter, I'm Sarah Harvard, but on Twitter is at Amy Harvard _.
Amy Harvard?
I got attacked by Nazis like a while back, so I had to change it to like, you know.
You were attacked by Nazis and you didn't tell us that story?
Well, I mean, I don't want to. I'm a woman, so I'm like, I don't want to interrupt.
Is it a quick story?
I'm not like physically attacked by Nazis, like online.
Okay, so what about your charade? No,
I wrestled in high school, but I'll take them down. But.
You were attacked by Nazis on social media?
Yeah, Nazis on social
media. What did you do to antagonize
them? Okay, so it's really bad. It's, honestly, I take some responsibility for it. I posted on Twitter that Donald Trump supporters are the new American Taliban. Yeah. And Daily Caller, InfoWars, Breitbart all wrote these hit pieces on me. Oh. And all these Nazis were like diving in, finding I'm flattering pictures of me, posting on the internet.
Oh.
They went to my mom and dad's Yelp. My mom and dad coach mixed martial arts. Right. Yeah. They went to their Yelp pages and started like, you know, saying Islamophobic shit
like
about
them. Half Moroccan, half Asian in martial arts?
Yeah. Well, yeah. My dad's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. He coached a lot of UFC fighters. But anyways, moving on to charade, right? Plugging for my dad's business.
I was attacked by Nazis this week.
It's a good career move.
Oh, it's lovely. I can't wait. I'm going to fake the whole attack.
I can fake it for you.
I'm going to say they goose-stepped me. smallworldcomedy.com, yeah. And I got a show here at the Comedy Cellar at the Village Underground on March 12th, 8 p.m. Get your tickets at comedycellar.com. And then I'm in Vegas, April 1st through the 8th. In Rio.
And so. You can listen to this episode.
And go to Race Wars, of course.
Race Wars.
On patreon.com/RaceWars. Go to Patreon and follow Race Wars. I mean,
you charge money for your podcast?
I don't know what we do. The Jews handle it.
And Live from America podcast.
Yeah.
The Comedy Cellar.
Very good.
Come to the Comedy Cellar. All right. Thank you very much.
Good night, everybody. Good night.
This is America? Perfect, guys. Great episode.
You were listening to Live from America podcast. To contact us, please go to www.livefromamericapodcast.com. Brought to you by the Comedy Cellar and Rethink Production.